Who doesn't want to learn a few dozen more tips and tricks that will accelerate their fat loss? That's our goal today on episode 71 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 71. We are still on vacation this week.
The only thing that's going to be different from this show is that we don't have a weigh-in for us because we're recording this a little bit earlier again. But the very next show that comes out, we will find out how he's been doing and what happened over his vacation. So let's get right into the show, and we're going to move right into our email and comment section. And we have one email this week because it was quite a doozy, and it put me on weeks of researching this, and I have a really good answer prepared for you. So, Russ, why don't you read the question for us?
All right, this is from listener Tom, and he wrote here, I've got a suggestion for a possible topic to research. I think I've heard y'all mention a few times that if you do the same exercise all the time, your body becomes efficient at those movements, and you don't get the same calorie burn from that exercise. I'm an engineer, and we are taught that to move body from point A to point B, you must perform a certain amount of work. And work is a unit of energy expressed in the English system as kilocalories, as we refer to them, calories. Simple physics suggests that the base amount of work should remain unchanged no matter how efficient the motion becomes. We say independent of path. Now the real question is, can we rely on this fact and use the base amount of work, calories, to increase our calorie intake each day, regardless of our body's increasing efficiencies? Simply put, if I walk 5 miles a day at 3 miles per hour and burn 600 calories, can I reliably eat 600 calories more each day and maintain, regardless if it was the first day I walked or the 1,000th? Assuming my weight stays the same, of course. I realize that the effort level will be lower on the 1,000th day, and the walk will no longer be advancing my level of fitness as it did on the first. But theoretically, we should be doing the same amount of work.
All right, now this is a great question, and this actually came in about 2 or 3 months ago. At the time, I responded to Tom with my initial thoughts, but I wanted to make sure that I talked with some experts first before I answered this one on the show. And because he was talking about physics, I talked with a high school physics teacher who gave me a great answer. And then I also spoke to another person who knows a lot more than I do about exercise physiology. It turns out that it has to do with physics and also physiology. And this wouldn't be Fat to Fit Radio if I only gave you a simple 1 or 2 sentence answer. So let me educate you all about this. So for the physics answer, this will be oversimplified, but the easiest way to think about the concept of work is to go along with the running example. And that formula would be work equals force times distance. This would be the introductory physics formula that many people may have heard before. It's true that the same amount of work was done to get from point A to point B. So why does a highly trained person burn fewer calories? On the surface, it doesn't seem to make sense that as you get in better shape, it seems to take less work to travel the same distance. But the simplest way to explain this is by using automobiles. We all can agree that you can have two cars of the same size where one car gets much better gas mileage than the other. We see it every day in our lives. If both cars travel 100 miles, they technically have done the exact same amount of work, but one used more fuel to get there. The difference with the cars is that they both waste a lot of fuel that is released as heat. When a car is more fuel efficient, it converts more energy into the force that is used to move the car. Older cars from the 70s may only use 10% of the fuel's potential energy to move the car. 90% could easily be wasted from heat. Newer cars don't waste as much. The amount of fuel energy required to move each of those cars 100 miles is the same, but one car used more fuel because it wasted more fuel producing more heat. Believe it or not, your body has a similar adaptation. We have that common expression that we hear all the time about someone who is in great shape. We say that he ran 5 miles or carried some furniture up a flight of stairs and didn't even break a sweat. There is the answer right there. Why is a person who is in shape not drenched in sweat when they jog up a few flights of stairs? Simply put, Their body is much more efficient and they didn't heat up as much. Just like the car, they didn't waste a ton of energy as heat. But this is only partially the answer, because a human body isn't just governed by simple physics equations. As an organism, you also have to look at the physiological properties. So, physiologically, here is yet another oversimplification of some of the changes that will happen to you when you start to train. And as I said, this will be very oversimplified. If you have ever studied glycolysis or the citric acid cycle in the past, your head just might explode, so just fair warning. So here is the first physiological adaptation. In your bloodstream, you have carbohydrates, proteins, and fats floating around. Your muscles use this for energy and have specific enzymes that pull these into your muscle cells from the bloodstream. These enzymes actually grow larger and longer and can literally grab more fuel from your bloodstream at the same time. Think of it this way. These enzymes have little buckets that pull energy from your bloodstream into your muscle cells. When your body becomes more trained and efficient, these enzymes now have larger wheelbarrows to get the energy from your bloodstream. And the second adaptation has to do with the way that your body burns fuel. But I have to do a quick mini lesson first. There are two main ways that your body burns calories. The first is the anaerobic system. This is where calories are burned without the presence of oxygen. Anaerobic refers to when you're doing short, intense exercise such as sprinting. These activities are so fast and intense that your body doesn't have enough time to use the oxygen that you're breathing in. When calories are burned, it is very inefficient and not everything gets burned up in the conversion to energy. One of the byproducts that we've all heard about is lactic acid. We have all experienced the pain from lactic acid buildup, and that's what keeps a sprinter from being able to sprint for long distances. The second system for burning calories is the aerobic system. And yes, this is where the term aerobics came from. This is the system where calories are burned in the presence of oxygen. This is that same system that is used when you're going for a long walk. Because your body can keep up with the oxygen demands, no lactic acid is created. The only byproducts produced here are carbon dioxide, water, and heat. The aerobic system is much more efficient than the anaerobic system. So just to summarize quickly here, if your body can't keep up with the oxygen demands, like when you're sprinting, it creates energy without using oxygen and uses the anaerobic cycle. It is less efficient and produces lactic acid. If your body can keep up with its oxygen demands, it uses the aerobic system, which is much more efficient and you can keep exercising for long durations. So now that you know your body has two different pathways to use energy, there are a couple of adaptations that will happen to the trained person. The first adaptation is that the trained person's body is better at using oxygen. This person will technically have a higher VO2 max, which is really just the maximal volume of oxygen that they can breathe in and use at once. When they're running very, very fast, their body is still using the aerobic system. For the person who's not as well trained, running at the same speed, their body can't keep up with the oxygen demands, and their body will start to switch to the anaerobic system. The lactic acid starts to build up and they have to stop. For someone who is not as trained and is struggling, they could be switching back and forth between these two systems as they're running. Each time that they switch to the anaerobic side, they aren't burning calories as efficiently. The lactic acid is building up and they have to slow down so they can catch their breath and the lactic acid will slowly go away. The second adaptation is that a trained person gets out of the anaerobic pathway much faster and switches to the aerobic system right away when they start. The way that you can think about this is if all of a sudden you start being chased by a bear, right at the start, you're going to be sprinting away and your body will be totally anaerobic. The trained person will switch over to their aerobic system after a few seconds and will be able to run farther because they won't have that lactic acid buildup. The untrained person quickly gets a buildup of lactic acid, has to stop running, and gets eaten by the bear. The trained person may have burned less calories running away from the bear, but the untrained person is dead. It's not the end of the world if you burn fewer calories because you are in better shape. So to try and summarize this in one or two sentences, A trained person seems to burn less calories when exercising because they don't waste as much energy as heat, and their body has physiologically adapted to be much more efficient. But here is the difference at the very end of the day. Sure, it's true that perhaps you burned a few less calories during a 3-mile run now that you're in shape, but you didn't struggle as hard during the run, you didn't get a buildup of painful lactic acid, and you probably finished the run much sooner anyways. And 20 minutes later after the run, you will not even be tired in your legs and just be feeling great. It's not all about burning more or less calories all the time. It's about being and feeling healthy. That's also important. So if you are interested in reading more on the citric acid cycle or glycolysis or the Krebs cycle, I'll leave a couple links in the show notes to some Wikipedia articles that does a fairly good summary.
Wow, Jeff, that is a very detailed answer, and sounds like you did a lot of hard work on that. But I especially like the part about the bear, and you know, I am endeavoring to be the guy who gets away and not the guy who gets eaten.
Well, that's right. It's not all about just the calories.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Tom, for your question. And Jeff, thank you for that awesome answer. But there's a few ways here that you can get us your question or comment. And that first way is to leave us a comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, Jeff, now let's get into some news items here on the Web Report. What do you have for us today?
Well, they always say that a picture is worth a thousand words. I have a picture that comes right off of Flickr.com, and it is visually showing a wheel. And on this wheel, they have different items of food that you could be consuming along the outside edge. And on the inside edge, they have all of these different arrows and lines that show just how much activity it would take to burn off the calories of what you've just eaten. So for example, for a man, if I drank one glass of red wine, it would take me 17 minutes to walk off the calories of that. It would take me about 11 minutes to run off the calories. Let's see, 13 minutes of doing body pump or 24 minutes of doing yoga. And then you move around and you look at different items. If I ate a chocolate chip cookie, it would take me, now this is a chocolate chip cookie with 350 calories, it would take me 47 minutes to walk it off, 31 minutes to run, and it just goes on and on. And here's one item, a Big Mac and a medium fries for 920 calories. It's going to take me 169 minutes of yoga or 89 minutes of body pump, 80 minutes of running. I mean, that's almost an hour and a half of running. And how about a pizza with pepperoni with 2,647 calories? Well, that's going to take me 482 minutes of yoga or 352 minutes of walking. So it's kind of interesting to see, when you can see everything visually, is it really worth it to eat a certain thing and then try and burn off those calories? Is really a pizza with pepperoni worth that much effort to burn off those calories? If you're going to eat something unhealthy, maybe go for something like a hot dog with a roll that only takes 42 minutes to walk off, not 300 or 400 minutes to walk off. So it's just an interesting picture that I suggest people click on the link in the show notes to take a look at. And it gives you different calories for different items, but it's really neat to see the difference of how much energy is really in the food, not just the amount of calories you eat, but the amount of activity that it takes to burn off those calories.
Yeah, it does take a minute or two to realize what you're looking at. When you showed me this first time, I'm looking at it going, I don't quite understand all these circular colors and arrows pointing everywhere. But once you get it, you know, you go from the left side and kind of spin around counterclockwise to find out how many calories each food is and how many minutes. And it makes sense after you look at it.
Well, I think it might have an impact on some people. Even if you look at a Subway tuna sandwich on wheat bread, is it really worth to have the foot long or the 6-inch? You know, there's quite a difference in the amount of calories and the amount of work it takes to burn that off. But Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, instead of a news item, I didn't find anything I really liked this week to share news-wise. So instead, I found an article. It's over at jameskerrison.com, and it's an example of three interval training sessions. Now, in the article, it doesn't specifically say what type of exercise that you would use, but it's just anything you would use, like elliptical or a bicycle, walking, running, any of those things could work while you're doing an interval training workout. But just three specific workouts, timing-wise, to get you a more efficient workout. And here's another interesting quote from the article as well. And he wrote here, these sprint/interval type sessions have been shown in a lot of research that it can be up to 9 times more effective for fat loss over steady state or endurance training. Now that really appeals to me. And I've been doing more of these interval workouts. Let's go over one of these just real quick here. And this is session one on the post. It's a 2-minute warm up. And then you go into a 30 seconds of hard work. This is 8 to 9 on your rate of exertion. And then 90 seconds of 3 to 4 on that same scale of exertion. And you do that 8 times. And then you'll do a 3-minute cool down. So it's kind of what we're talking about here in interval training. So we talked about this interval training style on episode number 29, Jeff. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah, but we just really gave the basics of how to design your own. I think people will like to come to this post and look at here are 3 specific examples that you can follow and have 3 totally different interval training workouts that are quite different and they're very challenging.
Well, Jeff, I don't think you remember quite right here because we did, that was our first trip to the Fat to Fit Radio gym.
Oh, that's right, but that was a very special gym and I don't think that could ever be repeated with people in the real world though.
So if you are a new listener, and you haven't listened to episode number 29. I listened to it this last week here just because I was brushing up on that. And it was hilarious. I was cracking myself up. And I may put a little bit at the end of the show. If you listen to the end of the show, often at the after the music, I'll put a little snippet or something. There's a little portion I have to put at the end to get you to go and download that episode number 29 if you haven't listened to it. So that'll be in the... at the end of the show. Also, check out the show notes to check out these interval training workouts.
Well, you know, Russ, I'm not sure if I really forgot that or I just managed to repress that. Usually our artsy-fartsy side doesn't come out too much like that show. But anyways, let's move on to the feature section. And this week, we are talking about tips and tricks for your weight loss. Back in 2007, a listener called John Sanderson, who we actually did a show on quite a few shows ago, he started a post over at fattofitsupport.com asking our listeners for tips and tricks that they have used to help them in their fat loss. So what we started to do was filter out the best tips and try and come up with a top 10 list that we could talk about. And then that list grew to the top 20 and then to the top 35. And then we realized that we really can't judge which tips will have the most impact on an individual person. Some of these tips might seem that they're just dealing with the minutiae, but they might be the turning point for some people in really accelerating their fat loss. So what we're going to do is pretty much give you all of the tips that everyone contributed in this post, and these are right from our listeners offering it back to our listeners.
All right, so that first post was from John Sanderson, and he's got 10 tips here that he put in. The first one of his tips was eat 6 smaller meals a day.
And of course, a couple shows ago, we talked about the real reasons why you want to be eating at least 5 or 6 meals a day. And that one is just his number one point, and I think it's one of the most important things to do. Now, moving on, bring lunch to work every single day. And this really stops you from going out and eating more calories and spending, you know, unnecessary extra money.
That's right. If you fail to plan to fail. Get that lunch. All right, third one here. I just did this recently. Get rid of clothes that have gotten too big. It's too easy to get them to fit again. If you don't have those clothes around, you can't fit in them again.
That's right. Any weight gain, you get checked right away because your clothes don't fit. Another one here is quit drinking beer if you're a beer drinker. They say people get a beer belly, but really those are just a lot of extra empty calories.
The next one here, stop drinking regular sodas. I would say stop drinking all soda. You know, stopping that fructose corn syrup main line into your bloodstream is a good first start.
Here's one, learning how to eat right. The majority of the listeners to our show, you are learning how to eat right and learning lots of things about diet and exercise. And I think getting an education is a really important thing on all of these topics.
Next one John has here is about goals, short, mid, and long range goals. We talked a couple shows about setting goals and, you know, it's if you don't have a map to where you're going, there's no idea where you're going to end up. And that's where your goals are. They're a place you're going to end up.
I like his next tip when he said, tell people about your goals. And that keeps you accountable so you can't just let them slip up. The next time you see someone a week or 2 weeks later, they know you have a goal and they might just ask you, how are you doing? You might be a little bit more motivated to keep on task if you're more accountable that way.
All right, number 9 on John's list here was water. I assume we're talking about drinking more water. You know, you got to replace all that soda drinking with something, and it should be with water.
And his last point, when he was just starting people off with his tips and tricks, he suggested to add a lot more vegetables to all your meals. And this is one that everyone knows. It's more food that fills you up. It's got more fiber. It's got more vitamins and nutrients. Of course, filling up on vegetables is better than just, you know, simple carbohydrates.
All right. And the next listener here had an idea for tips and tricks was Marty. And he put in here, hunger equals danger. And he also wrote, never get hungry. If you get too hungry, you will eat anything and possibly too much of it. I think it goes back to eating 6 smaller meals a day. You know, you're always eating something and spreading out those calories throughout the day.
That's right, because you will always lose out if you're trying to starve yourself. Your body will always be stronger than you. It's will to survive, and you're going to get such horrible cravings. The next couple tips come from Cassie, and her biggest point here was to keep a food journal and an exercise day journal every single day. Keep track of what you're doing and what you're eating to make yourself more accountable.
Yeah, and the second one she has here is avoid pastries, ice cream, and soda. All things are just laden with fat and extra sugar.
And a tip that worked for her is a binge day isn't to binge the entire day. Maybe have one cheat meal, but don't keep going.
Next one here is never skip out on breakfast. You know, there is this Sesame Street video that my kids watch. It's about eating right. And there's one of them that's called, you know, the most important meal of the day. And it's about breakfast. And that song, whenever anybody talks about breakfast, that song pops in my head. You're fasting all night long. You got to get your body saying, hey, you know what? We're going to get calories today. It doesn't stay in that starvation mode that you're in during the night.
That's right. And the only sport that I can think of that encourages you not to eat breakfast are sumo wrestlers. They're trying to put on weight. They never eat breakfast. Just something to think about. And the next point here, it's kind of clever. If there is fish, skip on the chicken. If there's chicken, skip on the meat. If there's meat, make sure it's lean. Some good points.
That's cool. And her last one here, if there's salad, go for it. You know, I don't know how many meals I have. Salad, vegetable, and a good lean protein. It's like the perfect combination.
Now, another listener called Kristen had a few interesting ones. And she says the biggest difference for her was flip-flopping her meals. And what she means is she eats a hearty breakfast, a sensible lunch, and a small, mostly protein dinner. And she said that by eating the majority of her food earlier in the day, it gives her body more opportunity to burn it off. And she says that planning her breakfast and eating it before she leaves the house really helps her out as well.
And there's this Trainio fanatic guy. His name's Jeff. And he had here, and did you ever think of having a sandwich with huge lettuce leaves wrapped around it instead of bread?
That's right. And the Jeff we're talking about was me. And that was my suggestion to save yourself, you know, 150 calories just by putting your sandwich fixings in between 2 pieces of lettuce.
Yeah. And my response here on the forums was protein style burgers at In-N-Out. Have you ever had In-N-Out burger, Jeff?
No, we don't have In-N-Out here.
Oh, so you definitely, when you visit California, have to have an In-N-Out burger. And if you can have it protein style, which is lettuce wrapped around your burger. It's exactly that. All right, another tip here was from Nicole, and she mentions here that Comcast here, they have 15 and 30-minute workouts, everything from walking to lifting to belly dancing. That's very interesting. So if you have Comcast cable, you might check out the workouts there on the TV.
Another listener, Jody, wrote in, and she said, I think just trying not to eat box foods has helped me tremendously. There are some exceptions, whole grain rice or pasta, and Fiber One cereal, 94% fat-free popcorn, and water mix-ins. She eats one splurge item a week without guilt, and this is often barbecue, and she orders the kids' meal size when she does have this barbecue. She also always has one piece of clothing that is her next goal. So even if the scale doesn't change, she's still trying on these clothing to see if they're fitting better and better each day.
Yeah, I've got those size 36 pants ready to fit in at any time here, Jeff. So good idea there. I got another here from Jasmine. And when she gets home from shopping for groceries, she cuts bags and separates everything into individual portions. That way it's easy to keep track of how much she's eating. Very cool idea.
That's right. And she also said, because she has problems with saying no or knowing when to stop eating something, she keeps carrots at work to munch on. And speaking of carrots, she continues on and says that she's been known to go through a pound of carrots on occasion, but it's still better than eating candy, chips, and pretzels. I think this is just a really great idea to reduce the temptation to be prepared with carrots and things like that to eat. But I think the best idea that so far that I really like is separating your food as soon as you get home into individual portions.
All right, next one here is from listener Tom Stewart. And he wrote, don't eat anything beige. I think it has to do with more with all these processed carbohydrates and cereals and anything that's beige usually is just a lot of starch, a lot of processed carbohydrates.
The next listener didn't really give us a point, but he had a good question. What are some quick snacks that are easy to prepare and don't require refrigeration? And then we have a couple listeners who give some great ideas.
Yeah, first one was from John. He wrote here, almonds. Eating them in moderation, though, obviously, because they're high in calories and fat. He also mentions some dry cereal, like Kashi Goline or Fiber One.
And another thing is natural peanut butter as an excellent snack. It is a little high in calories and fat. However, make sure that it's mono and polyunsaturated fats. Just eat it in moderation.
Another one here is dried fruit, and yeah, that's very good. It's really sweet, but watch out for the ones that have the added sugars and go for the ones that are just natural.
And of course, some people eat oatmeal as their mid-afternoon snack. The unflavored kind is probably the best, and you can just add a little Splenda or some frozen unsweetened fruit to it. And then from Marty, he also suggested just having a granola bar, but look for ones that are around the 100 to 150 calorie mark.
Yeah, those are a lot of the bars now, especially they're trying to go for that 150 calorie mark. It's like a perfect snack amount for most people. As well here, Wendy says plant proteins because they're high in fiber and low in fat, and they don't need to be cooked or refrigerated often, and so they can last longer. And plus, they're convenient and faster to prepare, she said.
Well, just any piece of fruit is an awesome thing to have. And of course, eating real food, like real apples, real bananas, it's always better than getting the dried stuff.
Yes, it is. Got another tip here from Teresa, and this was actually mentioned a couple times, but we'll give her credit here for this. Fitday.com, and that's a site where you can track your calories and fitness. And I think it was one that you used before, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I used that probably 7-8 years ago. It has been around for quite a while, and it is free. It will track what you're eating and your exercise. It's just another of these online tools. But moving on, there's another listener who just went by TKM, and they said that they started proportioning cereal into Ziplocs. It makes it so much easier to do it all in one shot, and then you're not eating too much cereal. You just kind of dump out a Ziploc bag, and you know that's the amount that you want to eat for breakfast.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that because I am a big overpour on cereal. I always have to measure out cereal. So that's a good idea to do it beforehand so you don't have to do it early in the morning when you're trying to get some food.
Well, the next person here is Jason, and he gave us quite a list of tips that worked for him. And the first one that he said is always get between 25 and 40 grams of fiber per day.
All right, another one here. He is a fan of the cheat day, but only once a week and don't overdo it. Don't stretch out that stomach and eat calorically dense food, but just enough so you get satisfied. Good tip.
And he suggests to weigh yourself or measure yourself often. This allows you to know the state of your body, but always do it at the same time each day. And he recommends to do it first thing in the morning.
Another one here is try to get 25 grams of protein per meal. It's about half a chicken breast and it has about that many grams of protein. So good tip there.
And while losing weight and getting in shape, make sure that you get plenty of vitamins and nutrients. And do this through eating very nutritious foods, or if all else fails, you can have some supplements.
He also wants you to throw out the egg yolks. The whites usually have about 17 calories and about 3.5 grams of protein and only trace amounts of fat and no carbs. It's a good tip.
And his last tip, he says, if you eat bread, eat light bread. It tends to have more fiber and is definitely lower in calories.
I have to say I have an aversion to light bread only because my mother, when I was growing up, was a chronic dieter. And she always had that light bread. And I always thought, I want some regular bread. I want a regular piece of bread. Come on. But I digress. And we'll move on here to Margie's tip. I plan my meals for the whole day and write my food down. That way I make sure I have everything I need and dinner time doesn't roll around with me wondering what should I eat. and then not have anything defrosted. It also stops me from thinking about food during the day. I know that there's another decent meal coming that has been well planned to take care of my needs and will satisfy my hunger.
That's right. And she continues, I only think in terms of today. If I really, really want something, and for me, that something is usually ice cream or Mexican food, I will tell myself, Margie, you can have it, but not today. You can have it tomorrow. By the time tomorrow comes, it's a new day and the desire is usually past. And I think that's a really good tip.
Well, she also says here, this is working for her. When she started her weight loss several years ago, she was a size 34 dress. Now she wears a size 8. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good work. Now here's one, a person called Beverly, and she had her 10 tips that worked for me, and they're really good. The first one says, my food and exercise log is the backbone of my weight loss plan. I found that writing it on paper is much easier than using online computer journals. It takes less time to write it out than to look up a food online.
All right, second one here. She writes, every day I review my day's eating and exercise and write down, if I ate and exercised like this for the rest of my life, I would eventually weigh and fill in the blank.
And her third point, I wrote down why I wanted to lose weight, and I review and update my reasons regularly.
Number four, she writes, I use the Harris-Benedict formula in order to estimate my calorie needs so that I will lose 1 pound per week. I have a printout of a spreadsheet of me at various weights that I review every day. It helped me to realize how small changes in calories and activity level can make a huge difference in weight in the long run.
And her fifth point, my calories per ounce chart. I eat at home and cook my own meals, and I got tired of washing measuring cups, so I created a chart of every food that I eat and the calories per ounce. It's only 2 pages long, though.
Six here was, I wear a pedometer every day and walk at least 6,000 steps per day. I try to increase this number a little bit every week. Every day I try to beat the past 7 days average of my steps.
And her seventh point, because I am an emotional eater, I think of ways that I can make myself feel better rather than eating large amounts of junk food. I write in a journal, watch TV shows that make me laugh, listen to podcasts and music, and like to go outside and take a walk. Whenever I feel bad, I ask myself, what can I do to make myself feel better instead of eating?
Eight on her list, I eat 4 times a day around 8:30, 12 noon, 4 p.m., and 7 p.m., and try to balance the calories evenly over the day. This keeps my blood sugar level even, and I don't get cravings for high-calorie foods due to extreme hunger.
And her next point, I cook most of my meals and eat at home. I only eat out at restaurants a few times a month, and I look up the calories of the foods at the restaurants online before I go there.
That's a good one. I do that as well. And the last one she wrote here, I allow myself to eat a candy bar or cake, that's her weakness, she says, about once per week. This prevents feelings of deprivation. Again, that cheat day comes in.
And just recently, a new listener, Mike, he wrote in and gave us 6 of his best points. And his first one is really clever. If it has a shelf life expectancy longer than my life expectancy, I do not eat it, such as Twinkies.
That's a good one. Number two here, if it looks vaguely radioactive, I do not eat it. Example, Cheetos, Doritos, Red Bull, or Mountain Dew. Nice.
And his next point, if I get a whiff of BS, then I do not buy it or eat it. And he's talking about Pam, how they say you only spray it for a third of a second and claim that it really doesn't have any fat. That's because you sprayed it so short that it really didn't add up to much.
I don't think I've ever sprayed it for less than at least 2 or 3 seconds. So
yeah, that's true.
So fourth one here, if translating the ingredient list involves the Chemical Rubber Company's Handbook of Chemistry and Physics, or my college organic chemistry text, I do not eat it.
That's a good way to say that point. And his next point, it is a diet and not a monastic order. So I splurge, but only on the highest quality stuff once per week. You are satisfied with much less and the experience is so much better. So for example, eating some high quality chocolate instead of just, you know, a counter cheapo chocolate bar.
Right. His last note here is, when stressed out, reach for your mate instead of your plate. I think that's going to be my new mantra.
That's right. And we're going to finish it up with one more listener. And this is from Scott, and he has 3 more points. His first point was, latch onto someone who you see succeeding in their goals. They'll be a great motivator and accountability partner.
Second one here is awesome. Participate in this forum regularly. You will learn a lot of great information and build relationships with people who want to see you succeed. And that is really true.
And the last point we're going to finish off this section, if you only have 30 minutes to work out and are pressed for time, then just do it. I'm pressed for time a lot, but I've stopped using that excuse. If I let that get in the way, it will be just too easy to not go to the gym or go for a walk or do some push-ups at home.
All right, so that's going to do it for our list here. But, you know, actually there's so much great information. So you should check out the fattofitsupport.com, the forums over at Trainio. It is amazing. And I don't go on enough. I'm a Trainio regular. Well, Jeff, you're a fanatic. And another guy here, Matt, he's a Trainio guru. So there's so much great information, number one, to read, number two, to share. And really, the community is a huge portion of weight loss. So get on the forums now.
That's right. Fattofitsupport.com has been around for quite a while. We have a little over 400 members, and not everyone participates all the time, but we do have a lot of history there and a lot of really good tips and posts that go back, you know, a good year and a half.
Right. And the cool thing is, because it's part of this larger community of the Trainio members, I mean, people come in from all over and, you know, we'll make a post or somebody make a post that's actually listener to the show, but anybody can contribute. So you start getting, while the community here of listeners may be smaller than the whole community of Trainio, everybody benefits because it's cross-posting and answering and sharing your information. It's cool.
That's right. Well, Russ, why don't you give us a great tip by giving us your recipe of the week?
Jeff, it sounds like you're not full of beans, and I am here to remedy that. I've got a recipe here for 3-bean salad. Now, don't get grossed out, because one of the ingredients kind of sounds weird. It's mostly green beans, kidney beans, and something called a wax bean, which sounds disgusting, at least to me. But wax bean ends up as just kind of a yellow-looking green bean. But they should come up with a different name for it, but, you know, a yellow bean, or because wax bean sounds horrible. But it's got a bunch of other things, red peppers, onion, and then some dressing to put on, and it's got 104 calories a serving. This would go great as a side to those shrimp I mentioned on a previous show, or a grilled chicken or something like that, with some corn on the cob. This would be great with any of those. So check out the recipe. It'll be in the show notes for 3-bean salad.
Well, it sounds really good, and it's a lot of fiber, and it looks quite filling.
Yep. And so, Jeff, what is our homework here on this vacation episode?
Well, the goal of the homework section has always been for everyone to be able to do something specific after each show that will help them along with their fitness journey. The homework this week is to take 3 of the tips that we mentioned earlier in the show and apply them to yourself. I know that most of these tips that you've heard today probably sounded like really good ideas, but they will have absolutely no impact on you if they just stay as ideas. So choose 3 of them and then actually do some action. Follow through with them.
All right, I will do that. But finally, Jeff, what is our quote for the week?
The quote this week comes from Lance Armstrong, and he said, "Pain is temporary, but quitting lasts forever."
So true, so true. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back with a regular show next time, including a weigh-in here after vacation, so that'll be fun. And thank everyone for putting all those great tips and tricks over at fattofitsupport.com in the forums. Those are great. Thank you very much, everyone. And with that, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
All right, so this is a 20-minute workout we did at the Fat to Fit Radio Gym. And before we started, though, we warmed up, make sure we're good and warm before going into the interval training. Minute 1 was 50% effort.
So this was about moderate walking effort. My dear Russell, might you be a dear and pass me some sugar for my tea?
Why, yes, Jeffrey, my man, I would be pleased to. And here's a crumpet.
Are you planning to watch Oprah on the telly this afternoon?
Why, yes, I love Oprah. She is so inspirational. Minute 2 was about 60% effort.
And now it was similar to light jogging.
Oh dear, my good fellow, I've spilled a spot of my tea.
Would you like to dab it with a serviette, napkin, or even a towel?
I'll just use my tie.
That sounds good.
Minute 3, we pumped it up to 70% effort.
Now it's just starting to get a little hard to hold a conversation while we're doing this. Oh man, I dropped my saucer.
Well, you can't set your cup down on the table without it.
What happened to your lace doily that usually covers the table?
I sent it out for dry cleaning. Minute 4, we're huffing and puffing at 80% effort.
And it's getting hard to talk. We can only really do this in short gasps. Oh, crap. I dropped my crumpet.
Let me get it for you. Oops, I kicked it.
Well, get it.
I can't. Oh, man, I just spilled the rest of my tea.
I'll get it. Oops, I spilled my tea, too. Get those crumpets.
It's too late. Maybe we should give up on your tea. At minute 5, we're at 90 to 100% effort.
Now, this is the ultimate level. And how you do this, you figure out what is something I could only maximum do for 30 or 40 seconds, and then make yourself do it for a full minute. Go, go, go! Breathe, breathe, breathe! Don't you quit on me! Go, go! 20 seconds to go! Don't stop! Go, go, go! My grandma's faster than you! Go, go, go!